Have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope you do. I invite you to open to Colossians chapter 1 with me this morning. And if you don't have your Bible with you, in the pew in front of you, you'll see a Bible there, and you can open to Colossians chapter 1, which will be on page 640. And we'd like to invite you to allow it to change your life. Because, church, take that home, page you're looking at this morning. This is literally God's word, God's breath on a page. So we invite you to take that. But if you'd open to Colossians 1, we'll be hopping into there in just a moment. If you excuse me for a minute, gotta grab something. I work with youth, so I'm a visual guy. So you gotta help me here this morning. A lot of visual aids. and if you haven't noticed, I'm not Brother Paul. So if you weren't, yeah, Brother Paul changed a lot overnight. So I kind of want to ask you a question as we get started this morning. If I were to ask you to describe Jesus to me, what would be some of the first things you would think or say? Loving, okay. What about some other things? Compassionate, loving, okay, good. Teacher, okay. What about another one? Savior, okay. So we get a lot of different opinions. You know, Savior, loving, teaching, compassionate, all these things about who Christ is, what we think of Christ. Because I ask this question because I want us to get the best idea of who Jesus is. I want us to get the best understanding of who Jesus is. Because if we have the right understanding of who Jesus Christ is, it's going to change absolutely everything in our lives. Amen. All right, so, and I remember, you know, growing up, I grew up in church, like most of you probably in this room. I don't think I had that right reverence, that right understanding of who Jesus was and what being a follower of him was. I thought it was just about these do's and don'ts, you know, you got to come to church all the time, don't say this, do say this, learn your memory verse for Sunday school, all these things. And I didn't really get an understanding or have this grasp of how awesome Jesus really and truly is. I didn't really get that until later in life. It was about being a good boy, but good, you know, obey mom and dad, do what mom and dad tell you, and didn't really understand how awesome this God that I get to serve is. But I don't know what comes to your mind in your own, you know, I've heard a few opinions of what comes to your mind when you think of Christ, but I want us to get the clearest picture that we can of who Jesus Christ is, and where we can find that is directly in God's word, which we're going to look at here in just a bit. That we leave amazed at how awesome Jesus is, this God that we get to serve. Kind of our theme this week for VBS is created by God, built for a purpose. We're going to be looking at just how awesome Jesus is in all of creation, that everything was created by him and for him. You know, this really became a reality for me that I'm not just serving some kind of figment of my imagination. This is really the God of the universe. Later in life, when I get into college and into high school, I started to see this. You know, and I get that growing up in church, you know, maybe a lot of you have been in church every day. You know, you were here 9 months before you were born. You've been here every Sunday. And it can become repetitive at times. You know, oh yeah, Jesus loves me. Let's sing a couple songs. But I don't want us to just sing a couple songs, just leave here just as another routine of Sunday morning. I want us to really be in awe of how great our God is, how indescribable he is, like we sung, you know, the creator of everything this morning, just to be in awe of who he is. Not to just become repetitive, not just to be our routine of, hey, it's Sunday morning, we come to church, but just really be in awe of this is the God that we serve. And don't just, you know, make this just, oh, well, I just keep doing it, but really latch on to this is who the God is that I get to serve. This is who Jesus Christ really is. You know, if we leave in awe of who this God is that we worship and serve. So without further ado, hopping into Colossians chapter 1. Starting in verse 15, if you'll read along with me, if you have your Bibles with you. Colossians 1, verse 15. We're going to be reading 15 through 18 this morning. Verse 15, it says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, I pray that we see just how beautiful, how glorious you are this morning. Who Jesus really is, that we don't make him out to be something that he's not, but that we look directly to your word, seeing that you are preeminent, that you are the number one rank in everything. All things were created by you, Jesus. All things were created through you, but most importantly, we were created for you, Jesus. And I pray that we get a grasp of that today. And if someone here has never given their life to you, if they've never seen just how awesome you are, if they've never really seen their need for you, I pray your Holy Spirit would work in their lives today, and today would be the day where they turn their life over to you for the first time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we dive into this passage of Scripture, talking in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. First off and foremost, this is talking about who? Any takers? Okay, Jesus. Yeah, you gave the Sunday school answer. Good job, y'all. Okay. It's talking about Jesus. You know, Paul writes that he is the image of the invisible God. The image of the invisible God. The Bible speaks about, you know, how God is in heaven, but no man has actually laid his eyes on God in heaven. If you actually look back in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, Exodus 33, we see Moses. He actually asks God, can I see your face? Can I see your glory? And God tells him, you cannot see me and live. No man can see God and live. But when Jesus came to earth, a little over 2,000 years ago, when he came to this earth, he was literally God in the flesh. I want us to get that down. You've probably heard it before, but he was literally God with skin on. He embodied absolutely everything that God was. All the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus Christ. And I think a lot of times the world, and maybe even sometimes in the church, we belittle that. We like to think, Jesus was just, he was kind of like God Jr., you know, he wasn't really the full embodiment of God, or the world would say, he was just a good teacher, or he kind of did some good things, he was a righteous man or a holy man. No, whenever Jesus Christ was on this earth, he was 100% God. It wasn't like a 50-50 thing, it wasn't he was 50% man, 50% God, he was 100% man and he was 100% God. The fullness of God dwelt in Jesus Christ when he was on earth. And I want us to, not to belittle that and just think of him as just some teacher, or just some guy with a robe on. Not have this, like, flannel board Sunday school answer of Jesus, with his long white robe and his long blonde hair, whatever we have in our mind. I want us to see him in his full of his glory, because that's what I'm going to look at here in just a bit. Not just a guy with a beard and hair, but it speaks much higher in Scripture who he is. He's the full embodiment of God. And he is in full glory now. He sits on the throne in all of his glory. And I want us to look at that. If you got your Bible, we'll flip over to Revelation chapter 1, and it just really gives us a description of who Jesus is now in all of his glory as he sits on the throne. As I was reading this, I was like, man, this is intense. This is intense stuff right here. But Revelation chapter 1, we're going to read verses 10 through 17. As John's writing this, he sees Jesus. And not Jesus that he hung out with on earth, but he sees Jesus in all of his glory. In this moment right here, and it's awesome. Starting in verse 10, reading through verse 17, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in the book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven gold lampstands, and on the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I love this part, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Let's read verse 18. I like verse 18 here. It says, this is Jesus. This is so awesome. It says, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. That's awesome right there. That's our God. Our God has all of that in all of his glory. But we look at this, Jesus in all of his glory in this moment. As we read this, a lot of people don't really see Jesus as who he is now. You know, we kind of have this small scale picture, but he is full of glory. A lot of people, they think, well, if Jesus were to come in here right now as who he is, I would just give him a big hug. No, you wouldn't. If Jesus came in here in all of his glory, I mean, we would just fall flat of our face. Like John does here, he falls flat of his face. He wouldn't be, he'd be like, this is just intense. I mean, he is full of glory, or worthy of worship, worthy of everything that we can give him. He is truly an indescribable God. He is all of his glory, like here in Revelation chapter 1. Moving down to verse 16 here in Colossians. We'll hop back to Colossians now. But I just wanted to look at that just to see how awesome our God is. But verse 16, the first part here. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. For by him all things were created, created by him and for him. Everything that we see, every single molecule of the entire galaxies, universes, was created by Jesus and through Jesus and for Jesus. Absolutely everything. And one thing that I think of, I just want us to really look at this and just see how awesome creation is. how awesome everything that Jesus has done, everything that he has created. I think right here, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do it for the glory of God. And absolutely anything that we do, absolutely everything that we do is to be done for his glory. Even whenever we eat and drink, even when we eat. And I'm going to ask a rhetorical question in a Baptist church, but who here likes to eat? Exactly. We're Baptists. We like to eat. That's like our 101. That's what we're known for. But, you know, everything, you know, was created by him, even eating. And I want us to think about this for a minute, just how awesome eating is. Have you ever thought about how awesome eating is? No, seriously, like, just think for me. Like, I got an apple here, and I'm going to eat in front of y'all, but I just want you to think about this. Like, you know, eating, you know, we have this apple here. It's a little mushy. I think we've had it for a few too many days, Maria, but anyway. But I'm going to take a bite of it. You know, you think about eating. You have your mouth here, and you take a little bite. You know, saliva starts making in your mouth. I'm going to choke on it. But, you know, you get these flavors. You get the sweetness. Your mouth starts making saliva. Like, you know what? That's good. That tastes good. That's really good. And you swallow it, and it goes down your stomach. If you eat enough of it, you know, you're full, you know, and you feel satisfied. But you ever thought about just how awesome eating is? I mean, seriously, that God created eating. I mean, he could have made it where we were like the trees out here in the yard, you know, where we just kind of stand in the sun with our feet planted and just say, feed me, and get filled up that way. But no, he wanted something more beautiful for us. He created eating to where we could eat. And that should create worship in our hearts that our God created that. Not to just think, you know, oh, feed me, I'm starving. Or as we like to say at home, you know, I'm hangry, I'm starving, and I'm getting angry. So give me some food before I do something that I'm going to regret. But we should be creating worship within our hearts for God, even when we eat. You know, we take it for granted so often, these things. But everything was created by Jesus to bring worship and honor to his name. Everything was created by him. And I think about another thing. Once I said, I work with teenagers, I work with kids, so I'm very visual. I'm a visual learner myself, so maybe y'all are too. I'm going to use some visual aids this morning. But one thing I think about also is our solar system and the planets. I love studying this and just seeing God's glory in all of this, the planets. So imagine for a minute right here. This is our big beach ball we use in the youth room. But imagine with me for a minute and use your imaginations. We all have imaginations now. That this ball right here is the sun that we're looking at that's somewhere in the sky outside. I'm not good with direction. I don't know which way I'm facing. But imagine that this ball is the sun. Do you realize that the sun that keeps our earth warm is over 1.3 million times the size of the earth? So 1.3 earths could fit inside the sun. Now, this isn't to scale, so just forgive me here. But 1.3 million times bigger than earth. Or the earth right now as we speak, the earth that we're sitting on, this is a small scale picture of the earth. The earth that we're sitting on right now is spinning. It's spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. It's spinning 1,000 miles an hour. You feel that? No. That's pretty amazing. But we're spinning 1,000 miles an hour. Not only that, not only are we spinning 1,000 miles an hour, we are orbiting the sun. It's 1.3 million times larger than the earth. We're orbiting it at 67,000 miles an hour. That's pretty fast. I don't know. I've never seen anything go 67,000 miles an hour, but we are orbiting the sun at 67,000 miles an hour. We're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour on this ball that we sit on. And we're just like, just another day, you know. It's kind of hot today, you know. It's a little warm. It's like, but no, we're spinning perfectly. You know, if we go just a smidge too far away, we all freeze to death. If we're just a smidge closer, we're burnt to a crisp. And some of y'all are probably thinking, we might be a little closer, Barry. It's pretty hot right now. But, you know, we are literally sitting perfectly where we are in doing this. And this is not just by coincidence. Do you think this is by coincidence? No. You know, it's all created and made by Jesus for his glory. Everything in creation, the earth, the planets, eating, everything. And I had a conversation the other night. My mom and dad were down, and we were sitting there at the house. Anybody ever watch the Food Network? I'm talking about food a lot today. I don't know what's going on. I must be hungry. But, you know, watching the Food Network, I like to watch Diners, Drive-Ins, Dives, Guy Fieri, where he goes all around these places. I'm just like, dude, I want to drive a sweet Corvette and drive around and eat. That'd be awesome. But anyway, he was at this place. I don't even remember. I think it was in Hawaii or somewhere. And he was making this. These people made this, like, weird food. It was, like, pretty much like octopus jerky. Like, they were taking octopus tentacles and, like, drying it out and making these little pieces. And I was like, that's nasty. And somehow we got on that conversation of, well, what is an octopus for? Like, what is its purpose? I mean, I don't think it's for jerky, but apparently these people do. But, you know, like, what is the purpose of an octopus? So Maria and my mom are sitting there talking about it, and I'm, like, just kind of sitting there taking all this in, and it's like, well, what's its purpose? What does it do? So they start, you know, doing what everybody in America does nowadays. They get on Google on their phone, and they start looking this up, you know, what does it do? What is its purpose? And the whole time, they're like, well, we can't find out what its purpose is. You know, it's got eight tentacles. You know, it's got the ink that it shoots out when it feels threatened. And they were reading something about there's certain types of octopus that whenever, or they actually have, like, their teeth are on their tongue or something like that. It was, like, just crazy things. But, they kept asking this question. I started thinking about it in my heart. I was like, they're not seeing this. I was like, and I looked at my mom, and I was like, do you get it? Do you get what its purpose is? And she's like, no, it doesn't have a purpose at all. I was like, no, think with me for a minute. What is its purpose? I was like, everything was created by God. You know, its purpose is to just show how awesome our God is, right? Even in something small like that, that he created something so intricate with all these tentacles and these, you know, the ink and all, like, just the beauty of creation. And mom was like, just stop. Don't go all deep on this. We're just talking about the octopus. But really, we got to realize, you know, that everything was created by him, for him, just to create worship. It's like, you know, he creates the octopus. He creates our taste buds. You know, he creates the planets. All these things are created to bring honor and glory to him. And do you ever think, you know, through all this, that maybe this life, that this earth is not for you? This life is not all about you. It doesn't revolve around us. It's about him. It revolves around Jesus. It's not about what we can get out of it, but something greater about bringing honor and glory to his name. That's our purpose, being here. Not for ourselves, not to make much of our name, not to make much of ourselves, but to make much of the name. So let's move along here and kind of dive back into Colossians. But Colossians 16, we're still in this, but the back half of it, the last sentence there, it says, all things were created through him and for him. They were created through Jesus and for Jesus. We have to understand that every single molecule of the universe was not only created by Jesus and through Jesus, but for Jesus too. Absolutely everything, even including us. We were not just created, like I said, we're not created just to walk on this planet and do whatever we want for a short time. We were not created just to, I've already said this, we were not created just to pay bills and die. We were created to bring honor and glory to his name, by Jesus and for Jesus. You know, he created us. He created each one of us with different wiring. We have different passions, different interests, the way we look, our abilities. We were created by him for a very specific purpose. It's not just for ourselves. I mean, think for it with me for a minute. If I could, like, create, like, if I had the ability to create something out of thin air, like, if I could just look here and, like, make, like, a little mini-me pop up in my image, and I said, hey, this is what I want you to do, you know, I want to have a relationship with you, you know, love me, let's talk, let's communicate, and do what I tell you to do, you know, and this thing, okay, let's do that. Do you get that gap there? There's this gap between a creator and a created being. So who are we to say, no, God, I want to do it my way. This is my life. I'm going to do what I want to do with my life. No, he created us and said, hey, this is what I have for you. I want to know you. I want you to experience full life. And you're not going to experience full life in anything other than me. That's the way he designed it. There's this gap. You know, we got to get that there's a gap. He is over everything. And it's not about making much about ourselves, but about making much of our creator. Everything was created by him, like we talked about, food, drink, the planets, the solar systems, earth, you know, octopus, absolutely everything was created by Jesus for Jesus. Even our emotions, even laughter. I just think about the beauty of just small things. Maybe I'm weird. I don't know. These are just the things that God reveals to me. But ever thought about laughter and laughing? Like, how awesome, you know, why did God make it whenever we see something that we find funny or hear something we find funny, we laugh? Like, you know, you hear a funny joke and you kind of like, yeah. And there's all these different types of laugh. No two laughs are the same. You know, and some people are like really high-pitched laughs. Some people have the really deep, you know, ho-ho laughs, you know, like Isaiah here. But we hear that. But, you know, have all these laughs, like, you know, just the beauty of that when you hear something. Or even our emotions that we, you know, we feel when we get upset, the anger, or maybe, you know, the happiness that we feel, love. All these things were created by our God, and created by him and for him and through him. It's just amazing to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. Let's look at these last two verses here in verses 17 and 18. Verses 17, it says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Maybe your version says all things hold together. Mine says consist, but all things are held together. Everything in the universe is held together because Jesus says so. Like the fact, like we talked about, that we're holding perfectly on this ball spinning around 93 million miles away from the sun, and we're not burnt. You know, that we're not freezing. We're exactly where we need to be. or even that we're able to breathe right now, that we can take a deep breath, because he is in control of absolutely everything. Everything in the universe is held together by him. Everything. Nothing catches him off guard. We may look around at this world and we see darkness, we see hurt, we see pain, we see all these bad things happening. He is still in control. God is still in control. He is still on the throne. I don't understand everything. I never will understand everything on this earth. But I know one thing. Jesus is on his throne and he's over all of it. Whatever you're going through. And everybody's got a different story in this room right now. This may be a tough time for you right now. You may be going through the hardest part of your life if you've ever gone through. You may be going through a good time in life. But Jesus has a purpose for all of it. He's on the throne. He's in control of all of it. Everything, absolutely everything, is held together by him. The last verse here, verse 18. Verse 18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." That he may have the preeminence. Your version may say first place in everything. And that's exactly, why did Jesus create this? Why did he do all this? To show he is above everything, that he is glorious beyond compare. He is the God of the universe. He deserves eternal worship and praise. It is not about us. It is all about him. That's what I want us to get this morning. It's all about him. It's not about us. Absolutely everything. He is over all things. You know, everything was created by him, through him, and for him. That's what preeminence means. He is over everything. He is even over the forces of darkness and evil. I don't even think we really grasp it. He's over even the hard parts, the things we see, the evil and darkness. It's only allowed to, Satan's only given the abilities that he has because Christ allows him to. You ever thought about that? You know, it's not like Satan's just, you know, allowed to do whatever he wants. Jesus is over absolutely everything. Our God is over absolutely everything. Every speck of the universe is under his ultimate authority. You know, when he resurrected from the dead in the Great Commission, you ever read the first sentence? We like to jump to the next part. You ever notice that? We like to jump to the part where it says, go and make disciples baptized. But what does Jesus say first? He says, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Every ounce of authority is in Jesus Christ. And he says, this is what I want you to do. But everything is under his authority, even the hard, the dark, evil parts. You know, despite all the dark and evil that we see in the world, nothing catches our God by surprise. So we shouldn't worry. And I'm going to use an example. I told my wife I was going to say this morning, so I just wanted to get her okay before I said this. But my mother-in-law might be the biggest worrier I've ever met in my life. Love my mother-in-law, have a great relationship with her, but she will worry about the least little thing. Like a couple weeks ago when we went to camp with the kids, she called Maria and was on the phone with her. She's like, did y'all think about this? Well, this is going on down there. Are y'all ready for this? You know, and then like, you know, somebody else, you ever met people like that just worry about every little thing. And that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to worry. You know, God did not give us a spirit of worry, a spirit of doubt. He gave us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. We are called to love. And that's the thing. Don't be so scared. Like with our, I was thinking about this, with our, you know, acts of service plan being called up. We're called to go out and love the community, love those around us. Let's not be scared. I see a lot of times, even with kids, with adults even, I'm this way myself, if I'm just being honest. We get around certain people or in certain atmospheres, and we get scared. We're like, well, let's not go there. It may be dangerous there. Let's not go in this community or not talk to that person because they may react the wrong way. You know, we have been given the Spirit of God. We cannot just sit on our hands and say, hey, someone else go do it. It is our job. We are the church. You know what? You know, we're not called to be scared. We're called to be powerful because our God is powerful. This is the God that we serve. We can't just sit back and say, well, somebody else do it. We can't just sit back and say, well, that person will go do it. Let's not be scared. You know, God has given us boldness. Pray for boldness. Ask God for boldness and trust that he's going to come through. Even these dark times, even when it looks scary, let's not be scared of this world. You know, what does the Bible tell us? To live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, if they take our life, so what? We got Christ. Let's give everything to him. 100% surrender. I've been talking to the kids a lot about this. Let's surrender. Let's not hold on to this world and what it gives us. Let's not find our identity in who we are on this earth, in our job, and our stuff, but find our identity in Jesus Christ alone. You know, truly surrender everything over to him. Not find our safety and security in him. Because we find our safety and security too often in things. We find our safety and security in who we are. And I see examples of this every single day. I have a two-year-old. I have a two-year-old little girl. And what do two-year-olds do? Like, you can't make me believe that we're not born into sin. I have a two-year-old, so I know this. But my two-year-old daughter, like, if she's got something and I tell her to give it to me, what does she do? No, it's mine. No, it's mine. And she'll run away and she'll turn, you know, and I'll think about it. Whenever she does that, I'm like, God, you're teaching me a lesson here. You're teaching me a lesson, God. But that's what we do to God more often than not. You know, God is saying, hey, give me that. Turn that over to me. Turn your life over to me. Surrender to me. Give me your life. And we say, no, God, I like it. No, God, I want it. No, God, it's mine. When really we should be saying, here you go. Take my life. Take absolutely everything that I can offer you and use it for your glory. You know, make me an empty vessel for you. Everything should be emptied before God. And that's my prayer for us. As we get ready to wrap up here in a minute, my prayer for you today is this, that we get just how awesome our God is, that we don't serve some puny, made-up, man-made God. We serve the God of the universe, and that should give us power. That should give us boldness to go out and tell others about him. We should not have this spirit of fear, this spirit of being afraid, or what will the world think, or what will happen if I do this, or what will happen if I say this, but being filled with his spirit to carry out what he's called us to do. And you realize that we're on this little speck of the planet. If you ever go, like, I won't go any more into the solar systems and all that, but I love to look at this. If we look at just how small we are, we're just on the speck of a planet. And you know that we're so small, and that he is so great, and he calls us to him, that he came to us. This is what separates us from every other belief system in the world. You know, all these other faiths that people may believe, they say, hey, work your way to God, come to God, do this to get to God, say these prayers, say these chants, read this, do this, make a better you. That's not what Jesus is about. If you've never given your life to Jesus, this is what Jesus did. Jesus came to us in our mess. He said, you know what? They can't do it on their own. They can't clean themselves up enough. So what am I going to do? I'm going to come to them. I'm going to live the life they can't live. I'm going to give my life up for them because I want to know them. That's the God that we serve. And we shouldn't be concerned about the things of this world. These things are fleeting. They're going to go away. The Word of God says, you know, the grass may wither, flowers may fall, but the Word of our God stands forever. The Word of our God will stand forever. It's all about Jesus. It's not our own. It's all about Jesus. If you've never done that, if you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never made that decision to follow him, if you've never realized how awesome this God is, I'd love to talk with you. Me and Brother Paul will be up here at the front here in just a minute. You know, be obedient to God. Let's realize that we serve a great God. Like we're talking about this week in Bible school, created by God, built for a purpose. It's all created by our God. We were created with a purpose. We all have a reason to be here. And ultimately, our reason for being here is to bring honor and to bring glory to the name of Christ. Would you pray with me this morning? You respond how God leads you this morning. Father God, I just pray we are in awe of how awesome you are, in awe of all the many things that you have done for us, in awe that you are sovereign over creation, that you didn't leave us in our mess, Jesus. You didn't say, clean yourself up. You didn't say, work your way back to me, because you knew we couldn't do it. You said, I want them. I'm going to come for them. And you did. And all we have to do is respond in faith. And Father, I pray that if someone has never done that, today would be the day where they respond to your truth, to your gospel, and are forever changed. Just do what you need to do in our hearts and in our lives this morning, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.